Bibles to the book of Psalms 25. Salmos 25, 8. Got it. I say Adrian is going to be my translator one day. Amen. Amen. Glory. He doesn't know it, but God's going to use them. Amen. We're going to have rows and rows where he's going to be back there translating. Glory to God. Amen. And I believe that God is going to use his life. Amen. Hallelujah. Adrian, Dios te va a usar tu vida. Amen. Hallelujah. He's going to use it for his glory. Amen. A sermon entitled tonight, Good Directions or Good Instructions. You know, I was in Guadalajara, which is there in the state of Jalisco. That's where I come from. And I'm there. We're coming back from my hometown. We're about 2.5 hours into our ride. I left a little bit late because I wanted to drive through the night to get to as far as we can go. Stop in a checkpoint. You don't want to stop just in the any road because you might not make it out of Mexico. Amen. So I said, I'm going to get to a checkpoint in here at this place. I am going to continue the route once I get a few hours sleep. Well, I stop. I'm lost. How many know that it takes a lot for a man to say, listen, we're lost. I don't know about you folks, but I didn't want to stop and tell my wife, honey, I'm lost. So what I did is I did the next best thing. I decided to go to a gas station. Amen. It was getting late. I ask a man there. I tell him, I say, I want to, how far or where is the highway? Amen. Where is the highway? He says, if you go to street lights and then make a left, the highway should be there. 2.5 hours later, I'm still looking for the highway. I'm there. Listen, my wife is like, where are we going? My wife is like, are you lost? No, baby, I'm not lost. I get off again. There's a man that says, it's just right there. I was right there, folks. But I was driving around in a city I knew nothing of, lost as lost can be. Another story where there in Mexico City, listen, Mexico City, you have streets that do this. Like probably many big cities of the world. But listen, I lived in the big city, Dallas, but I'm from a small town. You can get from one side of town to the other in 15, 20 minutes, just like it takes here. So Pastor, in his infinite wisdom, you know, Pastor Rosario, in his infinite wisdom, he says, Jesus, I want you to be my map. I got this. I got this. We're coming from Querétaro, and we're going to the leadership church there in Mexico City. We're only about 30 minutes or so. He says, Jesus, I know I'm coming up on one of the exits. Be on the lookout, Pastor. I got you. We're coming. We're driving. And then I say, Pastor, turn. So Pastor turns. The funny thing is we see cars coming right at us. He said, Jesus, what are you trying to do to us? I gave them wrong directions. And it almost cost us our lives. He pulls over and he's like, Jesus, are you trying to kill us? I said, no, Pastor, I just messed up. Here in Psalms 25, verse 8, God is trying to give you and I a good instruction to follow. He says, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he teaches sinners the way. Let's pray. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. We ask you, God, to help us in this place. Give us good directions, God. We thank you for what you're doing. Lead us towards the right path. As your word says, you are the truth, the way, and the life. We thank you in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. See, the Lord tonight is good. And he does what is right. He shows you and I the proper path to take. Can I tell you, you will never find yourself lost if you are following the path that God has you in. See, there is good news this evening. The good news is that the grace of God is in every place, in everywhere in you and I, amen. Whether you and I, amen, have been saved for one day, one year, 5 years, 10 years, however long, the grace of God, amen, is upon every single one of us because we should not be here this evening. Because we have fallen short of God's glory, folks, you and I, amen, should not be here tonight, but God's grace allows you and I to find the way. See, God is just. How many are glad that God is just? God is upright. God is fair. God is decent. He has provided a way, amen, for you and I to be able to find a way to safety. God leads the way. Can I tell you, God doesn't tell you, take this road and in this road, you might find a way. He says, if you follow my roads, you will be in the way. He shows us the way. He shows a lost person, amen, the right way to eternal life. One man said, what a ragged school for God to teach in. Isn't that amazing? That God would be the, amen, instructor for a people with problems that breed problems, that have problems. He doesn't wait for you and I, amen, to get better or fix ourselves. He meets you and I where we are in the place where we are lost. We're lost in our sins. God uses grace, folks, to put us in a position where we need to be. Can I tell you? You might say, God, how did I show up here? God put you there. God placed you there. So how does he teach us? Firstly, he teaches us through the message of the cross. Romans 1, 1 Corinthians 1, 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. To those, the 26th translation says, to those who count their own ruin, the message of the cross is foolishness, but to those who are being saved from that death, it is nothing less than the power of God. Ephesians 2:16, God on the cross, and with the cross, He brought you and I back onto the power of God. Romans 5:8. You know, it's amazing that God didn't wait for you and I to get polished. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love towards us that in while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God died for you and I when you and I were lost in the sauce. Can I tell you, God didn't say, get a little better, then come to me. How many of us will still be away because we're still trying to get a little bit better? Luke 24:39-43. Behold, my hands and my feet. That is, I myself handle me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, he said to them, have you any food here? So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it ate it in their presence. We have a story of two thieves in the book of Matthew. We have two people that were condemned for their actions. One found forgiveness. The other one rejected the message of the cross and perished. Let me ask you a question tonight. On what side, of the cross do you find yourself at tonight? Are you on the side where we needed God's forgiveness, or are we on the side where, the man rejected, he had the same opportunity, he had the same message preached, he had the same things, but one accepted and one rejected? Which one of the messages are you and I? Because we hear the same message. Which one of the messages are we going to accept? Secondly, tonight, through their lives, they through their lives, for Christ. Philippians 2:15. That you may become blameless and harmless children of God without faults in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. Can I tell you tonight, God saved us so that we may become blameless. Listen, we're not going to become perfect. We're not going to become, they're in a perfect sense, but God, gets you and I that we can become, like children of God. so that no one can criticize you, that you may live clean and innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. Can I tell you, there's a lot of things that are going on in the world, but you and I do not have to be one of them. See, you and I are living epistles for the world to be able to read. There should be nothing, that is hidden or covered in our lives. People should not have to say, I wonder, I think, but I don't know. Are you maybe possibly one of those people? See, they don't even say Christians. Are you one of those people? See, our responsibilities tonight, they are to be consistent. There has to be a pattern in our lives, folks. We cannot live like a roller coaster. We go up and then down. People do not know how to read you because one moment you're excited and the next moment, leave me alone. One moment you're there, Jesus loves me, Jesus loves you. I don't know if I'm going to make it. We have to be consistent, folks. If we are going to win this world for Jesus, if we are going to be instructions for people, listen to me. We have to have a consistent pattern in our lives. There should be no hypocrisy in our lives. Do we know what the word hypocrite means? Hypocrite comes from a stage. They are actors. They are playing a part. Can I tell you, I do not want the world to call me a hypocrite. I don't want to just play a part. I want to live the part. Many people will come to meet Jesus. Not because somebody has witnessed to them, but because they see Jesus in you. In you. So when people see you, what do they see? Because people will come or run from what they see in you and I. Will sinners come to dinner? Amen. Will sinners come to dinner or will they skip lunch? Because of what they see in you and I. Lastly, people will come because of the circumstances in their lives. If you talk to my wife, she's going to tell you I was perfect. Amen. On the contrary, she's going to say this guy had problems. See, my wife and I came because our lives were messed up. The circumstances of our lives caused us to come to Jesus. My wife made a statement. She said, when my husband got saved, now I knew that God was real. So that tells you that I was not that good. But see, it was the circumstances in our lives that brought us to know who Jesus was. Can it be that you are in the place where you are? I know that you don't, you're like, God, get me out of this. And God's like, no, I got you in the right place. I'm going to keep you there a little bit longer. I'm going to keep you there a little bit more because I am going to use the circumstances to bring you to me. Through our circumstances, we come to know who Jesus is. Paul met Christ on the Damascus Road. He was there when Stephen was stoned. And now he has a decree to go into Damascus and kill people. Listen to me. God used that circumstance to bring, Paul to the knowledge and be used for, his kingdom, his purpose. He used a proud. He was, of the strict, as he said, his sect. He was a self-centered religious person, but yet he was lost. Could it be that you can be religious this evening, but yet still be lost? You can quote. Nobody can tell you nothing. Listen, nobody could have told Paul nothing. He knew he was there. He can finish the scriptures. But yet he was still lost. Could it be that that can be you tonight? You are one that knows much, but yet we are lost. In a moment when he came to the end of himself, that changed his life and put him on a different course. Where at one point he was going to murder, and now he's trying to save them. The Philippian jailer. He believed, because of an earthquake. He thought the prisoners had escaped. He's there. He's getting ready to take his life. Paul comes out. And in the moment of a circumstance in his life, he comes up and he says these words, "What must I do to be saved?" Could it be tonight, that God has you in a circumstance where you tonight can also say those words, "What must I do, Lord, to be saved?" Is your world tonight being rocked? Is it being turned upside down? Do you need to be, knocked off your high horse just like the apostle or, Saul of Tarsus? What circumstances have caused you tonight to see the need of Christ more in your life? What are you experiencing? What are you going through tonight? That the Lord is trying to draw you to Himself. See, God tonight is trying to reach you. Not in the place where you want to be, but where you presently are. Now, the Lord, where you are now, will show you and I the way with one condition. Pastor, there's always something. No, listen to me. The Lord will show you and I only if you allow Him. Can I tell you, the Lord is a gentleman. He's only going to go into those that want him there. He sees the need in every single person, in every single one, in all of our lives, but only to those that allow him will he enter into. Are you allowing him tonight to give you good directions or good instructions? Because sometimes, listen to me, I don't know about you, but this little guy is hard-headed. I know it's probably just me. So we will not say you, but this little guy, he's hard-headed. My wife is shaking her head. Yeah. We need the Lord tonight to show you and I the way. And even when we are trying to veer, he says, no, come back in. He says, let me pull you back. Let me get you back into the right road. See, man tries to find the better way. Can I tell you, there is no better way, folks. Jesus said, there's only one way. And the road crosses through me. I am the truth. I am the way. I am the life. No man comes onto the Father except through me. See, we are in a time where we can think and all these other things. Is there another way? There's only one way, folks. And that road crosses through Jesus. You can take another way. You can take another road. But can I tell you? That road is going to take you through a lot of suffering that you probably did not have to go through if you would have just followed the road that leads to Jesus. Listen, you're talking to a guy, or you're looking at a guy. You're not talking. You're looking. You're looking at a guy that made a lot of mistakes. My wife just reminded me of when I went to California on that hiatus. Amen. Hallelujah. Where I was there for 4 months, and she said, I told you so. Amen. Listen, sometimes we think that we are doing the right thing, and then we find ourselves saying, why did I do this? Learn. The Lord gives you an eye. He says, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he teaches sinners the way. Let's take the good instructions, the good directions, so that you and I tonight will not find ourselves lost. Let me have every head bowed and every eye closed tonight. Amen. I was there. I thought, listen, that's one of the biggest mistakes that man has ever said, I thought. See, I thought that I can just go 2 blocks, make a left, and the highway was going to be there that was going to take me to where I needed to be. But I found myself lost in a city, in a place where I was wandering around for over 2 hours. I had my kids. I had my wife. And I was lost. Can I tell you, there are people maybe here tonight that you've been lost for a good amount of years, months, maybe days. But this loss is way different. This has to do with your eternity. This has to do with whether you are going to meet the Lord or He is going to tell you, depart from me. See, you are here this evening, and the Lord is trying to speak to you and I. The Lord is trying to get our attention. You're on the wrong road. Come back to me. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but you want to come to who He is, would you simply do one thing? Would you raise your hand? Maybe you're backslidden in this place and you're not saved. You haven't surrendered your life to Jesus again. The course of your words that said, I thought that I can find another way, caused you and I, amen, to find ourselves lost once again. And we're backslidden this evening. And tonight, you want to give your life to Jesus. Is that you tonight? I'm not going to put you in front of the mic. I'm not going to put you on blast. All I simply want to do is pray with you and for you. You're here in this place and you're not saved. You want to surrender your life to Jesus. Would you simply do one thing while Christians are praying tonight? You want to give your life to Jesus. You've never given your life or you're backslidden. You want to make a decision tonight. Lord, this is me. I'm lost and I want to find the directions. I want to find the way once again. I veered off. I found myself veering. And now, tonight, I'm lost once again. I need to give my life back to Jesus. That's you. I'm not going to hold this anymore. Would you surrender your life to Jesus? Jesus is good and upright, the Word of God says. The Lord is good and upright. He gives instructions to sinners. The Lord is good, folks. He can be trusted. We can learn from Him everything that we need in our lives. He's not going to lead you and I astray. Could it be tonight that maybe the circumstances that you are in are there not to push you away, but to draw you closer to God? You're like, why am I here? Why is this happening to me? Why are these circumstances in my life? Maybe that's the only way that God can get a hold of you and I. The altar is open. Amen. Come, lay hold of God tonight. Come, lay hold of God. The altar is open. Your circumstances are not there to push you, but to draw you closer to Him. They are there to bring you closer, not farther away, folks.
Jesus, lover of my soul. Jesus, I will never let.
God, why am I there? God, why are these things going on?
From the miry.
God, why, God? Is this happening in my life, God? God, why are these things going on? God, why? God, might be you using those circumstances so to get you closer unto Him.
My closest friend, I will worship.
And God says, that's the only way that I can get you to come back to me, to draw close to me.
Upon the rock, now I know.
Let's tell him we love him.
I love
oh, let's tell him we need him.
And I need you. You're my only hope. I'll never let you go. My Savior, my closest friend. I will worship you until
oh, let's say it again. Let's worship Jesus tonight. Father, we thank you. God, we worship you. God, we exalt you. God, we thank you, Jesus. God doesn't want to destroy our lives. He wants to save our lives. God does not want to push you away. He wants to draw you closer to Him. Once again, verse 8. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, He teaches sinners in His way. God wants to help you and I tonight. Sometimes we're hard-headed. We're like this, amen, hard. And God has to really press down more and more. And He says, when I put the pressure, you're going to feel it. He's good, folks. He's not there to destroy you. He's there to save you. Sometimes He's got to press a little bit further. You know, when I surrendered my life to Jesus, I was right here at the altar, at an altar just like this, not right here. I was at an altar, and I thought I was just going to come and do, a religious thing. I'm just going to go just to kind of so that nobody, I'm going to come, and then I'm going to leave. And the Lord said, I'm not done with you. I'm like, Lord, let me get up. You got to settle some things. I'm not done with you yet. I'm trying to get up, and it's like pressing down upon me. And I'm there. Listen, when I got up, folks, there was business that was settled that night. And I'm still here 26 years later. You know why? Because the Lord put pressure on me. Imagine this. If I would have came to the altar and just gotten up and said, baby, let's go. Would things have been settled in my life? The answer is no. Sometimes the Lord uses pressure not to destroy you, but to save you. God is good, and He is upright. Amen. And He teaches Sinners. How many sinners do we have here in this place? He teaches us the way. Can I tell you, he teaches you and I the way in whatever way possible to bring us closer to him. Sometimes it's not the perfect way that you and I think, but it's his perfect way because he knows better than you and I. Amen? He knows better. How many know that God knows better than us? See, we think we know it all. But he says, my ways are better than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. See, when we are there in comparison to what God is, we can't compare. So if he says, let's do this, let's not buck the system, let's follow the system. Amen? And can I tell you, our lives will be a whole lot better if we just follow the way. Isaac, why don't you close us in prayer tonight?